Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, some of you may be interested in my Wednesday night television show where web video meets the issues. Tonight's videos include rare footage from atop the High Bridge, the long closed span between Upper Manhattan and the Bronx. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75 on the New York City cable systems. And one of the big news stories in America this week is that horrifying shooting of four police officers in the state of Washington and the shootout that killed the alleged perpetrator. But it's bad enough when criminals shoot cops. It's doubly tragic when cops shoot other cops by mistake. But it happens too much, including a recent high-profile case in New York City that you may remember that inspired a task force that is holding a series of hearings. There'll be one in Harlem tomorrow. Undercover officers are especially at risk. And we're happy to have with us now Damon Hewitt, the executive director of Governor Patterson's Police on Police Shootings Task Force. Mr. Hewitt, thank you very much for coming on. Hello.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Remind our listeners, what was the recent case in New York City, and how did it come about?
On May 28th of this year, Officer Omar Edwards was fatally shot and killed when he was spotted by an anti-crime team of three plainclothes officers as he was chasing an individual who had attempted to break into his car. Officer Edwards did have his gun and his weapon with him, his duty weapon, and as he was confronted by those officers, he was shot and killed.
And how unusual is that kind of so-called friendly fire incident?
Well, those types of incidents, and we should be clear, Brian, that this task force is focused in particular on what we call mistaken identity incidents. What some refer to as friendly fire incidents may include others such as crossfires and other types of incidents, malfunctions, pure accidents. But the mistaken identity incidents are those in which the victim officer was thought to be engaged in some criminal activity as opposed to official activity, which is most often the case.
And how frequently does that occur? Because certainly when this incident happened in May, it was such big news, which indicates that it's fairly rare.
Exactly. We now have what we believe to be the most comprehensive database of these incidents between 1981 and present. And during that about 29-year time span, there have been 26 fatal incidents nationwide. So they are fairly infrequent, less than one per year. And in the state of New York, we've only had three of these incidents in the entire time span.
Nevertheless, if one police officer is getting killed every year in America because of mistaken identity, that's something that we need to deal with. And I guess that's why Governor Patterson created the task force that you lead. Are undercovers who are not in uniform always the victims? And are police officers of color virtually always the victims?
Good questions. Officers in certain duty assignments, such as undercover assignments, are particularly at risk. But the information we have on the fatal incidents, and again, it's a fairly small sample of 26 incidents, although we agree that it's 26 too many, indicates that a number of the officers were actually off duty at the time, which raises an entirely different set of questions in terms of their response and in terms of how they were confronted. In terms of officers of color, historically, over this 29-year period, the majority of the officers who were victims in these incidents were white officers, 14 out of the 26. However, in the last 15 years, from 1995 to present, a majority of the officers who were victims have been officers of color. Of those 14 in that later time span, 8 have been African-American and 2 Hispanic and 4 white.
Do you think that's just a statistical fluke out of a small sample, or is there some reason to think that that's the trend?
Well, it's difficult to say. Again, it's a small numerical sample, although these incidents have individual resonance, and the tragedies are really severe and tough losses, difficult losses for families, law enforcement, and for communities as well. What we hope to do is to compare the trends or the data for fatal incidents with what we may be able to determine from the non-fatal incidents. Non-fatal police-on-police confrontations happen with far greater frequency than fatal incidents. And the main mechanism we have to get that information is, one, to ask individual police departments for the information, and they provide that on an ad hoc basis. And second, we also have an online survey of current and former law enforcement officers through our website, which allows them to share their own experiences with these confrontations.
So what has your task force been focusing on mainly?
We've been focusing on identifying the hows and whys of these incidents, trying to understand the characteristics and how they happen. That means the characteristics of the victim officers, the characteristics of those who confront these officers, and also what are the tactical considerations that were involved. Was there training for these officers who were involved in these incidents? And if so, and if not, how can we change or modify training or reorientation of officers moving forward to ensure that these incidents never happen again?
Do undercovers in particular need more training on when and how to identify themselves to uniformed officers who might be pointing guns at them?
Well, I mean, I think undercover officers need a particular set of training that's more germane to their roles, but we would submit that training is required universally for officers in any duty assignment because any of them could find themselves on either side of that fence given the right or wrong circumstances.
Right. So do you think that part of that needs to be a kind of racial sensitivity training?
Well, it may be different in different communities. We know that there are some statewide mandates in the state of New York, and that's similar in other states as well. But many large municipal departments go above and beyond the minimal requirements at the state level. What we would like to see would be some clarity about the requirements going forward in terms of setting some standards statewide that match best practices that we see in some of the larger municipalities.
Are you talking about with respect to race?
With respect to race, with respect to the tactical considerations involved, the NYPD, to its credit, has brought in a professor from the University of Chicago, as you know, to address the issue of implicit racial bias, that unconscious racial bias, if you will, that may be present in a split-second decision to shoot or not to shoot. It's important that the NYPD is taking a careful look at this in its recruiting classes. It's important that this also be considered for those who are already on the force as well.
Damon Hewitt is my guest on WNYC. He's the executive director of Governor Patterson's Police on Police Shootings Task Force, inspired by the cop-on-cop killing in the city on May of this year. And Mitchell in New York is calling in with a question or a comment. Mitchell, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Am I on the air?
Yes, you're on the air, Mitchell.
Okay. All right, here we go, okay?
Okay.
You know, I've given this a lot of thought, you know, with the Omar Edwards situation.
Yes.
And, okay, I was surprised. He said, like, in the first 15 years, the overwhelming majority were white. What was that, like 10 and 5, something like that? Okay. And the second 15 years, 95 to now, it was 8 black, 4 white, 2 Hispanic. But, you know, I don't see how you can, like, Omar Edwards was running down the street chasing a man at 10:30 at night with a gun in his hand. Even if he didn't stop when somebody yelled police, like that man in Seattle, the cop killer was shot and killed yesterday.
Yes.
They shot him in the back. Why? Because, you know, the cop wasn't going to give him a chance to try to catch him. He was an armed, fleeing, dangerous felon.
Well, there, and Mitchell, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. So that maybe he represents a perception, Mr. Hewitt, on part of the general population that you can't ever stop this thing. But what about the comparison with what happened in the Seattle incident yesterday and Officer Edwards?
Well, it's difficult to compare incidents, especially when we have people who were on the scene who are deceased, people who can't speak for themselves. What we can do, though, is to take the information that we do know from the Edwards incident and the other incidents and try to see what the commonalities are. We do know in terms of training that it's important that training be focused not only on the confronted officers but also what we call the challenging officers as well. It has to be universal and balanced, and the key is that the officers have to know what to expect from each other, even if they don't know at the time that they are officers, and that can help to save lives.
Do we use undercovers too much, in your opinion, in general? I mean, that was also an issue in the death of Sean Bell, who wasn't a police officer, of course, but confusion about who was a cop and who wasn't a cop when somebody wasn't in uniform.
Well, we're not in a position to speak to the overall use of undercover officers. I think what we have heard from our community contacts is that there is some concern about deployment of officers, and that's not something specific to New York City or New York State. That's throughout the country. There's some concern about how officers are deployed in particular jurisdictions. That, you know, does play into the likelihood that an officer could be mistaken for someone engaged in criminal conduct.
So you're going to hold a hearing on this in Harlem tomorrow. What will happen at that hearing?
Well, at the hearing, we will hear from a variety, a cross-section of stakeholders throughout the community. We'll have some elected officials on hand, some community representatives, and also some current and former law enforcement officers who will share their firsthand experiences, their personal experiences with police-on-police confrontations that did not result in fatalities. Again, a confrontation of this type could be anything along the continuum of force. It could be a verbal confrontation, a physical one, or one in which a weapon is discharged.
Go ahead.
At the hearing, we also want to make sure that the task force members themselves are informed by these perspectives so that when we finally issue our report and recommendations to Governor Patterson, that it does reflect this full, whole set of knowledge.
James in Greenpoint is going to suggest a technological fix. James, you're on WNYC.
Yes, I think that they could use a GPS system that would be activated only when the officer felt himself endangered. He could activate it, and any other officer with an FM receiver or a cell phone would pick it up that there's an officer in the immediate vicinity.
Interesting. Do you think that's feasible or any other technological fix?
Well, in addition to understanding the characteristics of the incidents, we're also looking at the response of police departments to these incidents. One of the chief responses has been to look into new and emerging technologies, such as weapons recognition technology that could alert an officer that there's another officer with a weapon nearby. So it may sound far afield to some, but anything that sounds in technology that could be helpful is something that we should consider.
And you also have a hearing upcoming in White Plains. Do I have that correct?
That's correct. On Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we'll have a hearing at the Westchester County Center in White Plains, and we expect to hear there from a similar cross-section of community stakeholders.
And so who do you want to come to these hearings in Harlem tomorrow and White Plains on Friday?
Well, we want anyone in the public to, who's interested in the issue, who's concerned about what's happening in their communities, concerned about these fatal incidents and even the non-fatal incidents that we've had, to come out. We know that there is a connection in the mind of many between these police-on-police incidents and police and civilian incidents. The police and civilian incidents are beyond our mandate, but we understand there's a connection, and we want people who are concerned about all of these ideas, all of these situations, to come and hear what we're talking about, come and understand what the witnesses have to say, and also come and share their own perspectives as well.
Damon Hewitt is Executive Director of Governor Patterson's Police on Police Shootings Task Force. Thank you so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. James McManus on the Obama and other presidents' style of poker. Stay with us.